everyone for coming for what should be an amazing Leil Yun back-to-back Shirim on related topics. I hope all of you saw the flyer and see what's in store for tonight. Again, really, just for those who I haven't seen yet, a big welcome back, and hope that, you know, everyone's vacation was enjoyable and meaningful as well. It's so nice to see everybody back. I really think, whether it be the Shirim at night or during the day in the Beis Medrash, it's, I think, the most packed I've seen it the entire year, which is really a testament to everyone here, given that you'd think at the beginning of the year that would be when it's most packed, but dafka in the middle of the year, and just getting back from vacation, the fact that people are so thirsty for all the learning opportunities and growth opportunities here is really a testament to everything that goes on here. There are plenty of announcements always to make, but not to, you know, take up much time from Reb Schechter. It is a tremendous plus to introduce Reb Schechter, who hopefully everyone here knows, in addition to, you know, to being a Rav in the Young Israel of Woodmere, is also a Judaic Studies faculty here. And also, this is just a good pitch, generally, on either Tuesdays or Thursdays between 6 and 8 p.m., Reb Schechter sits in the Beis Medrash, really open to meeting with anybody, at, you know, answering any questions and whatnot. And for everyone to take advantage of that opportunity, it's not a small opportunity that we have. So in addition to the shiur tonight, to also take advantage of those opportunities. Without further ado, Reb Schechter.
So good evening, everyone, and welcome back. Thank you so much, Rabbi Fine. If you're wondering why I'm wearing a women's watch, the reason why is because my battery broke this morning, and I don't want to go overtime because I know all of you, the hundreds of you who are here, are really here for Rebbetzin Heller, who is the main event of this evening. So if I go overtime, I'm going to take away from your privilege of listening to her. She is a woman who has decades of experience in education, has so much wisdom to share, and I'm sure you will enjoy hearing whatever she has to share with you this evening. So, welcome back to another semester of learning, of growing, of thriving here on the Barron campus. And it's such a pleasure, it's such a delight for me to be back in what I consider to be a energetic and dynamic, very animated campus, as we see things are happening here all the time, shiurim all the time, every night, and particularly in the Beis Medrash. Of course, there's a lot of dynamics going on the campus at all different levels, but particularly here in the Beis Medrash, which is really the focal point and the axis of all that goes on here on our campus. What I was asked to talk about tonight was intensity versus balance in our Avodas Hashem. I can't say I know exactly what the title means, but I did not choose it. From what I understand, it's a very important topic, and really I was asked, Rebbetzin Heller is the one who picked the topic first, and they asked me to offset whatever she's going to say. Now, it's hard to do that because I don't know what she's going to say. So I hope this is in some way complementary to everything she's going to talk about, but I look forward to hearing her perspectives as well. I want to introduce this evening's topic with the following. The premise of so much of our hashkafa, so much of our foundational and fundamental belief of everything we believe in, is the fact that we understand that all of us were created with bechira chafshis. We were all created with the ability to decide, to choose, to live life being people of discretion, having the ability to decide, this is something that's relevant, that's worthy for me to engage in, and this is something that perhaps I need to stay away from because it's not going to be a positive choice. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, very famous words, Rishus l'chal adam nesuna. There is, Rav Soloveitchik said, it doesn't mean there's permission. We don't have permission to choose to do good or bad. That's not what it means. You don't have permission. There's such a thing called a mitzvah. There's something called an avera. Rishus l'chal adam nesuna does not mean you have permission to choose, but rather, he says, you have the ability, you have the capacity to choose. And that choice is something that is left to all of us to make the right choices and to make the right decisions, which is what the Torah says in Parashas Nitzavim, Uvacharta v'chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages all of us to choose life, to choose well, to use our bechira, and to do the right thing. This is why the Rambam says that we have a concept of schar ve'onesh. Schar ve'onesh means we're all going to be given a reward, and we're all going to be punished for the things that are not going right, for the choices that we make that are inappropriate, that are improper. That is part of this understanding that we have bechira chafshis. If we didn't have bechira, then there would be no understanding of why I should be rewarded or punished. I didn't have a choice in either direction. And therefore, fundamental to the whole idea of schar ve'onesh, which the Rambam says is one of the 13 principles of faith, one of the animamins, is this understanding, is this basic, fundamental truth that we all have the ability to choose, to discern how to live life and how to experience it. It's very interesting that in Parshas Bereishis, the Torah describes human beings and we're told, B'tzelem Elokim bara osam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with a Tzelem Elokim. Now what exactly does it mean that we are created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the divine image of God? This is something that many of the Rishonim discuss, debate, try to figure out what does it mean, what does it not mean. But the Mesha Chachma has an amazing insight where he suggests, perhaps what it means is, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses what should happen in the world, there's no force that pressures the Ribono Shel Olam in one direction or the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does whatever He decides to do. Yesh Me'ayin, the Ribono Shel Olam created our world because He decided to create the world, not because something compelled Him to do so, not because He was pressured from an outside source, from some external, but rather because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do because He felt it was the appropriate thing to do. So too says the Mesha Chachma, and that's what it means, that all of us are created B'Tzelem Elokim. We're given that quality to act like HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to choose how we wish to spend our lives, how we wish to experience it. That is what Tzelem Elokim actually means, according to the Mesha Chachma. And this is part of the mitzvah B'Halachta B'Dracha. To be a person, to be a human being who tries to follow and emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to make choices, to have the ability to choose, to have the ability to experience life the way we want to, which is why the Gemara says, Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz miyira shamayim. While it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu determined what color hair I'm going to have, what kind of natural predispositions I'm going to have, whether I'm going to have an anger management problem, whether I'm going to have all kinds of other issues, all of that is predetermined. However, there's one aspect of our lives which is chutz miyira shamayim. When it comes to decisions in terms of our spiritual growth and what kind of life we want to live, that is not bidei shamayim. That is something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives over into our hands, which is why the Navi Yirmiyahu tells us, Ayishalel chacham b'chachmaso, v'ayishalel gibar b'gvuraso, ki im bizos yishalel amishalel. I shouldn't take pride in my accomplishments, I shouldn't take pride in my talents. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me brilliant, well, that's a gift that He gave me. If the Ribono Shel Olam gave me a beautiful voice, when so be it. If the Ribono Shel Olam gave me some kind of talent, that's what it is. It's nothing to be proud of. It's something that was gifted to me. Ki im bezos yishalel ha-mesalo, what should I take pride in? Haskel v'yodea osi. Person who spends time, a person who invests in trying to understand what the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this world, how we're supposed to relate to Him, to make choices that bring us closer to that sense of understanding of what the Ribono Shel Olam wants all of us to experience throughout our lives. In Shmona Esrei, we say the bracha, Atachonein la'adam das, and as the Nefesh HaChaim writes, all of Tefillah was structured in such a particular fashion, and there's so many layers of meaning behind every word in the davening. Sometimes it gets lost on us because we don't really speak a fluent Hebrew all the time. We certainly don't speak the Hebrew of the Tanakh, and we don't really understand maybe all of the allusions that the davening is really alluding to, psukim all over the place. But the Nefesh HaChaim assures us we need to understand that all of this was structured by Nevi'im, by the greats of our people. So here you have to wonder. We have a bracha about Tachonei La'adam Das. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us knowledge, for giving us a mind. Immediately following that we say, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sorasecha. Is that coincidental? We just needed to have 18 brachos. We actually have to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about tshuva. We need to also talk to Him about the fact that He gave us a mind, the fact that we are intellectual, the fact that we have the ability to think. So, just so happens to be they wound up next to each other in the Shmona Esrei. Cannot be. Perhaps the reason why my father likes to say is because Atachonein La'adam Das. You, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave us an intellect. You gave us a mind. You gave us the ability to think. And as a result of that, we have the ability to make choices. Immediately following that means we have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. Because sometimes we're going to make inappropriate choices. Sometimes we're not going to do the right thing as a result of the intellect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave all of us. And that's why immediately following this bracha we say, Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha. Tshuva is the most natural progression after we thank the Ribono Shel Olam for the gift of having Das. One very powerful tool in being able to properly make choices in the experiences of our lives is to make sure that we surround ourselves with a positive, favorable, and supportive environment that can allow us to make those choices. It takes a tremendous amount of stamina for a person to make a choice that is something that is looked at as being courageous to others. It's not easy to stand up. It's not easy to be on a college campus where you don't have Jews all around. It's not easy to be in a campus where people are standing for very different values than what you stand for. But we all chose to be here. Why did we choose to be here? Not because the academics are so much greater than anywhere else. They're not. I'm sorry to break you the good news. We have wonderful teachers and wonderful professors. There are no rabbeim, there are no teachers, there are no educators like we have on any other campus in this country. The only reason you're here is because you wanted to surround yourself with an environment of people who are going to help you think about making the right choices. You're going to be confronted with choices throughout your life. You're not always going to have this cocoon, this environment around you. But at this formidable stage, when you do have to make very critical choices in your life, it is important that you surround yourself with an environment of people who all are striving to make proper choices, to use that gift of Atacho Nein La'adam Das in the proper way. The Medrash writes in Bamidbar Rabbah, Ashrei Tzadik v'Ashrei Shcheino. What does it mean? Praised is a righteous person and praised is their neighbor. Says the Medrash, Elu Shvatim Shayasmuchim L'Moshe V'Aaron. As we know, in the Midbar, in the desert, all of the Shvatim traveled in a very particular order, in a very particular spot. And we're told here that Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zebulun all became Gedolei Torah. All became giants in Torah, leaders. How so? Says the Medrash, because they were situated right next to Moshe V'Aaron. And when they were placed in an environment that allowed them to see the greatness, to see what Moshe V'Aaron stood for, they naturally did the same. And they ultimately became the leaders of the Jewish people because of what they were exposed to. Contrast that, says the Medrash, with Reuven, Gad, and Shevet Shimon, who were right next to Korach, and they were Bali Machlokes, and they gave the wrong set of values over to those around them. Ashrei Tzadik v'Ashrei Shcheino. Ashrei Chem, blessed are all of you, lucky are all of you, that you're surrounding yourself in an environment that allows you to make proper choices. The Rambam says, Derech Riyaso Shel Adam, it is basic human nature that a person feels they should be Nimshach B'deosa V'Vemasa V'Achareya V'Chavera, that we are drawn, we are influenced, we are affected by the people around us, by our friends, by our neighbors, by our colleagues. It doesn't mean you're a weak person, it means you're a person. All people, says the Rambam, derech b'yosu shel ha'adam. It's normal. It's a natural phenomenon to be drawn into the environment which we inhabit. And therefore, says the Rambam, because of that, tzarach adam le'eschaber le'tzadikim, we have to make a choice to surround ourselves with people who are b'nei aliyah, with people who are looking to strive and to grow in life and to do the right thing. The truth is, the Rambam is not the one who came up with this idea. It is really something that is mentioned in the Medrash as well. The Medrash comments on a pasuk in Sefer Mishlei, Holech el chachamim yechkav. The pasuk says in Mishlei, somebody who goes to a smart person will become smart. Now, how does that work? By osmosis? By diffusion? You go to a smart person, suddenly you become smart? Doesn't really work that way. We know that's really not the way it works. It takes a tremendous amount of hard work. I just read this week, there's a tshuva in the Rashba, where the Rashba was sent to Shaila by a community where there was somebody, and in every generation in Jewish history, we've confronted these kinds of issues and challenges. There was somebody who claimed to be a Melech HaMashiach, somebody who claimed to be the savior of the Jewish people, and he was doing all kinds of mopsim, all kinds of miraculous different things, and he was convincing people how great of a Talmud Chacham he was, and how prominent a person he is, and they didn't know what to do. Nobody in the community really knew him. The father of this individual sent the Rashba the question, what do we do? The community says, we don't really know who this person is. He's coming and doing all these miracles. Do we believe him? Do we not? And the Rashba says, there's something very curious about this individual. The members of the community all say, they've never seen this person sit and learn
in the Beis Medrash. They've never seen this person sit down and crack a binding of a book. How could it be you became a great leader of the Jewish people? How could it be you're a tremendous, phenomenal Talmud Chacham if we've never seen you work at it? It's impossible. And the Rashba says, don't believe this person. It cannot be. I find that to be an amazing shuvah of the Rashba. You can have somebody who does miraculous things. We have miracle workers today as well. You go to Israel, there's no shortage of them. Go to this block and they'll tell you how to get rid of an ayin hara, how to get rid of this, how to get a shidduch, all of these things. I don't know if they work, I don't know if they don't work. But the Rashba tells us that if a person did not invest in making the right choices throughout life to become who they became, there is no value in all the miracles they're going to do. It's meaningless. You can go to Baghdad, you can go to Egypt, and also find miraculous people. There's nothing Jewish about it. The only value that there is when someone works hard to become who they are, when someone makes the right choices along the way. And that being said, what does it mean when the Pasuk says in Mishlei that Holech al Chachamim Yechkam, that somebody who goes to a Chacham will become smart? It doesn't work that way. We don't believe in that. And the Medrash says what it means is as follows. You ever travel through the airport? I'm sure many of you on vacation were traveling in different places, and you travel to get here. Sometimes when you go through international travel, they have a large shop in the airport, and we go walking around, right? You have nothing else to do in the airport. Start walking around, looking what's going on in the stores. You don't actually buy anything. Any of you ever walk by the perfume aisle? Be honest. I do. Okay. So you walk by the perfume, the cologne, smells beautiful, smells delicious. You ever buy anything? Show of hands. Anyone here ever bought a bottle of perfume in the airport? Wow. Amazing.
I buy perfume when I travel.
Good for you. Okay. One out of 250 women who are here tonight, 200 women who are here, has actually bought the bottle of perfume in the airport. Everybody else, you've all been down that aisle, never touched it. Never actually took it. Maybe you sprayed it a little on your clothing, sprayed it on a little sample there. Why do you do that? Because it smells good. It's a pleasurable experience. And when you walk out of the store without the bottle of perfume, how do you smell? You smell good. How did that happen? Because you were around positive smelling substances. And as a result of that, you smell great. I feel in the opposite direction. When you walk the streets of Manhattan here and you smell all kinds of very ultra-positive substances all around us, you sometimes walk into Stern College and smell different than you'd like to. I don't know if you've ever had such an experience, but I feel this just walking the 10 blocks from Penn Station to here. But that's what the Medrash says. Holech al Chachamim Yechkam, this is not a magical potion, but rather, it's the Metzius. It's the way life is. Like the Rambam says, Derech b'yosu shel ha'adam. We are influenced by the environment that we surround ourselves with, and it's important that we choose one that is an environment of growth, that is one of people that are making the right choices. People are so careful. Parents are so vigilant. They're so attentive to which friends their children go to have a play date with, which house they want their children to be exposed to. How are we going to allow our children to have this kind of influence in their life? Am I really going to allow my child to go here? Not just a safety concern, but what kind of a hashkafa do they have? Do they watch movies? Do they do this? Do they go to those activities? I don't want my child going to this birthday party. We're so careful, right? Emirat Hashem, you'll all be careful. You'll have to make these decisions. Usually it's like a very loud amen. Yeah, I got it. Good. So Rav Gessler writes, in the Michtam Eliyahu, just making sure no one's sleeping. B'nei Adam Choshvim, writes Rav Dessler, people think, Shehashpas HaSviva Oseroshim Chashuv, Rak Al Yeladim Echalushi Hadas. People think, yeah, children are very fragile. Children are very weak. And if they're going to be put in an environment that's going to be detrimental to the values that we want them to pick up, that's going to be catastrophic for them. It's going to be terrible. Right? So Rav Dessler, people don't realize that hasviva oseroshem afilu al hachi gadol. The sviva, the environment, can make an impression, even on someone who is overly confident, somebody who is totally independent, fully capable. But we have to be careful about our sviva, which is why Avraham Avinu has the Asara Nisyonos. Avraham Avinu has 10 different tests. We assume that all of them were considered very significant challenges to him. And yet, what does the Torah say? One of those challenges was, Lech lecha me'artzecha mimolatetcha. Why is that such a challenge? Put it against the Akedah? Is that really a challenge? The answer is yes. Because to pull myself out of a weak environment, to pull myself out of something that is the natural place where I find myself, the natural place where I go, is very, very difficult. And that is extremely significant, a challenge for a person to be able to pull away. So that is the first point. When we talk about aspirational dreams, when we talk about values, when we talk about making decisions, the first way to make sure that we do that properly is to enable ourselves to have an easier time making decisions, to surround ourselves with an environment that is in the same kind of growth-oriented mindset as we are. A second aspect, and in this I say, I talk to myself more than I speak to anyone else here, but it's learning how to remain focused. It's so difficult. It's so challenging. You know, we're pulled in so many different directions. We're so busy. We're so engaged. We're so occupied. You know, every time I teach here, I put my phone on airplane mode so it doesn't ring in the middle of class. Turn your phone back on. It's only an hour and 15 minutes. Turn your phone back on. Bombarded with WhatsApps, not just from the Stern group, which is muted, but from everyone and everything, and missed phone calls. And then you have to get to the texts and then the emails, and you have to get back to everyone. It's like, how many things can I keep track of at the same time? And I'm also supposed to be a growing Eved Hashem. How? I'm drowning in just my phone. I don't have enough headspace to do anything else. And I would venture to say, all of us, in some degree, feel the same way. In Parshas Tetzaveh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs the Kohen Gadol to make all kinds of different kelim, different clothing that he's going to be wearing. And one of the crown jewels of the Kohen Gadol is that he wears a tzitz. And all the tzitz on the gold plate on his forehead, it is supposed to be emblazoned, Kodesh LaHashem. So Rav Moshe Feinstein asks, why does the Kohen Gadol, who spends his entire day in the Beis HaMikdash, singularly focused, he needs a reminder, Kodesh LaHashem? He needs to be reminded that everything he's doing is Kodesh LaHashem. And the answer, says Rav Moshe, is yes. You could be the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, doing the Avoda, fully focused on only HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your relationship with Him, and yet, even you need the reminder that everything you're doing is Kodesh LaHashem, because it's so easy to get distracted. It's so easy to be inattentive, to lose focus of what really the goal and the aspiration for all of us should be. The Pasuk writes in Shir HaShirim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Livatini ba'achas me'enoich. You love me with one of your eyes. Now what does that mean? You love me with one of your eyes. I once asked my father, what does it mean when the Navi describes our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we loved him with one eye? And my father told me, perhaps he thinks it means when you have a couple that's married for a long time, they walk into a wedding, they're sitting on opposite sides of the room, and they notice something strange. They notice something unusual. Do they have to actually text each other to say, hey, you see that? Everyone's quiet in the room. Everyone's looking onto the chuppah, and something out of the ordinary happens. They don't need to say anything. Nonverbal communication is sufficient. All they need to do is wink to each other. And you understand me well enough, you know exactly what I'm saying. You know exactly what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling. It's a testament to how close the couple is that they understand each other without even having to say anything. They're so close to one another, they have such a deep understanding of who each other are that nothing needs to be said. And that perhaps is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. Livavtini be'achas me'inayich. You love me with one eye means we have such a deep connection. We have such a close understanding of each other. All we need to do is wink at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know exactly what He wants. He knows what we need. Our relationship is so strong. That's my father's interpretation. Later on, I found the Medrash has a very different interpretation to this pasuk. What does it mean, Livavtini ba'achas me'inayich? Says the Medrash, Mahu ba'achas me'inayich? What does it mean, we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with one eye? It says, V'haftas Hashem Elokecha b'chal levavcha b'chal nafshecha b'chal miyodecha. We're supposed to love the Ribbono Shel Olam with our whole heart, with our whole body, with all we have, with all of our money. So what does it mean, ba'achas me'inayich, says the Medrash? This is a reference to the time of Kabbalah Satorah. Can there be a moment in Jewish history when we felt closer, more deeply connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than that? Of course not.
That was the deepest sense of connection we ever had. And yet it was only Ba'achas Me'inoyach, says the Medrash. Ba'ayin Hasheni Kvar Hayu Mistaklim Al Egel, says the Medrash. At a moment of such closeness, at a moment of such focus, somehow one eye was already wandering off and thinking about the Egel. What do you mean? You're at Kabbalah Satori, you're at Har Sinai. You just heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu talk and communicate with you. But yet it's so easy to get distracted. And says the Medrash, it was only Ba'achas Me'inoyach. You were only focusing with one eye, and with your other eye, you were wandering and losing focus. And that was the problem that led to the Egel. That's the way the Medrash interprets. There's a powerful line in the Sefer Chovos HaLevavos. And ever since I saw this a number of years ago, I try to remember my tefillah every so often to say it. The Chovos HaLevavos does not identify who said this line, who it's attributed to, but he says it was B'Shem Chassid Echad. I assume if the Chovos HaLevavos refers to this person as a righteous individual, it must have been a great person. But he doesn't say who it was. And he says this Chassid used to daven every day the following four words. Hamakom yatzileni mipizur hanefesh. Hamakom yatzileni mipizur hanefesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save me from being all over the place. That Chassid Echad, who lived at the time of the Chovos HaLevavos, has no idea what it means to be all over the place. He doesn't know any of us. And his words stung me when I read it. Hamakom yatzileni mipizur hanefesh. Can there be a more appropriate tefillah for our generation than that? God, save me from being everywhere, which means I'm nowhere. I can't focus on anything. The second most critical aspect that I feel, we as a generation, and I consider myself part of your generation, maybe our next speaker has different feelings. I feel I'm a part of this very wonderful, troubled, distracted generation. And yes, Hamakom Yatzileni Mipizur HaNefesh is something that I think is so appropriate for all of us to think about. To be a person who becomes an Eved Hashem in any serious way, we need to learn how to focus. And it's something that is so hard for us to do. On August 23rd, 2019, you may remember, it was a 17-year-old girl who was hiking with her father in Eretz Yisrael, who was killed by a roadside bomb. Her name was Rina Schnur. I don't know if you remember the story or you don't, but during the Shiva, a very terrible story, during the Shiva for Rina Schnur, her mother, Shira Schnur, who lives in Israel, wrote the following. And she said, you know, so many people are reaching out to us. So many different people are coming to the Menachem, asking us, what can we do for you? How can we fill the void? And the answer is, you can't fill the void. This is my daughter, 17-year-old, pure, beautiful, innocent girl who was killed for no good reason, just because some Arab decided that he hates a Jewish person and wants to take someone's life. Let me tell you what you can do for us. Let me tell you what you can do for us. Bizman ha'acharon, I'm reading her words. In the last segment of time, she says, Habat shalanu, our daughter who was just killed. Chashva kol hazman al nosei echad. She was fixated on one thing. My daughter spoke incessantly about one thing. What was that? Haselulari, the cell phone. Hatelefonim hachachamim. Our cell phones that make us so smart, because we can Google anything. We can ask Siri any question in the world. He hergisha shekulanu golshim. She had the feeling like we're just always searching. We're always looking. Not just looking on our phones, but we're always somewhere else. You're not here. You're not focused. She said, Lo sholtim b'machshir elahu sholeid banu. Our phones rule over us. We do not have control and ownership
over our phones. They have ownership over us. Hihaisa, about 17, my daughter was only 17 years old. But this is something that was a primary focus of her life. Lachain, and therefore she says, Chashavnu ha-mishpacha, we as a family who are now in the middle of Shiva, Shemisha rotze lasos mashehu le'ilui nishmasa. Somebody who wants to do something to memorialize my innocent daughter, 17-year-old Shira, who was killed for no good reason. I'm sorry, Rina. Let's start here, she says. Lekabel alatzmo alatzma, to take on him or herself, zman mugdar, a certain segment of time. Zman eichus shebo hatelefon munach batzad. Can you have the strength at some point during your day to put your phone away and turn it off? Can we do it? Can we remind ourselves what it means to be focused once again? To have a few moments of clarity. To have the ability to think. To not be pressured. To not feel that we're missing out. Do we have the ability to do that again? And she says, everybody who's reaching out and asking what they can do for us, I respond to them, this is something you can do for us because this was important to our daughter. I think that is a second aspect and element of anyone who wants to take Avodas Hashem seriously. At some point during the day, doesn't mean the whole day, but at some point during the day, can we challenge ourselves? It doesn't have to be a public declaration. You don't have to sign up anywhere. Do it for yourself. Don't do it for anybody else. Allow yourself to have a few minutes of quiet in your life. Allow yourself to have a few minutes of no distraction. I'm going to focus on something. Whatever that's going to be. Allow yourself to have the pleasure of what it means to not be pulled in a million different directions. Allow yourself to live the dream of Hamakom Yatzileini Mipizur HaNefesh. It's such a critical component to anyone who wants to take this aspect of life seriously. We need to allow ourselves to focus and to take distraction out at least for a little bit of time. But finally, I'd like to focus in the remaining few minutes on the important balance, on the idea of making sure we have proper perspective and proportion in our Avodas Hashem. The Torah tells us in a number of places that we have a prohibition of Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra. Baal Tosif means you're not allowed to add on to a mitzvah. Baal Tigra means you're not allowed to subtract. You can't take away from the observance of any particular mitzvah. The Rishonim discuss the details of when one violates and when one does not. So why is it that the Rambam says if I take 100 hadassim on sukkahs, that's not called Baal Tosif? Whereas if I add a rose to the equation, suddenly that would be Baal Tosif. So, big discussion. The parameters of the halacha are under major debate in the Rishonim, but the concept is something that the Torah describes, that Baal Tosif and Baal Tigra is certainly something that we are not allowed to engage in. You cannot add and you cannot subtract. Why? Why? If I feel such a closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I feel this is going to bring me closer, and I feel this is something that is going to make my avoda more powerful and only better, what can possibly be bad with that? Who's going to say anything wrong with that? It's a beautiful sentiment. My father likes to say, if you take the A train uptown, anyone here ever took the A train uptown? Take the A train uptown. So you get to 184th Street, and what does it say? Yeshiva University. Right? It says it in the train station. What happens if I decide Yeshiva University is a Beis Medrash? I mean, there's a lot of other things, but it represents Torah, of course, primary. What else is it for? It's the only thing it's for. Everything else is secondary. So, you want to get out on the A train because you want to connect to the Torah. You're coming from the middle of Manhattan, and you want to connect to the Beis Medrash. You know what? I want to go further into the Ratzon Hashem. I want to do more than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I'm going to go one extra stop on the train. Where does one extra stop on the train bring you? The next stop is the cloisters. Church of the Desire. My father uses that as a mashal. Sometimes going further in the direction that you're traveling does not always mean you're going further toward the Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes it means you're taking the train, instead of going to the Beis Medrash, you're going straight into the cloisters. One has to know what is appropriate and what perhaps is not. And that is why the Torah says we have a prohibition on Baal Tosef. Just because you think that this is something that is going to enhance your service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't mean that it's appropriate. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that way. But why is there such an insistence on this idea of Baal Tosef? The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, he explains as follows. The reason why is because if you believe that something in the world is complete, that something in the world is perfect, if you believe that something is absolute and flawless, then there's no Tosefes and there's no Giron. There's no more and there's no less. If you eat by someone's house and they make a delicious dessert, if you're going to start putting things on it, it means there's something lacking. I've been told that to put ketchup on a food when you're eating at someone's house is considered a big insult. What do you mean? But I like ketchup. So why can't you do that? I'm not getting blank stares. Nobody agrees with this? It's considered offensive. Why? It's offensive because it means that the food wasn't good enough as is. There's something lacking in what you made. And if it would only have a little bit more flavor, it would be so much better. That's offensive. That's not nice. If I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is perfect, if I believe that the Ribono Shel Olam's values that He gave us are exactly as the world should run, then why would I add and why would I take away? If I add or I take away, it means I believe there's something lacking. There's not enough of this, not enough of that, not enough ketchup, not enough pepper, not enough salt. That shows that I don't believe in the authenticity of Torah. It shows that I don't believe in the perfect nature of what Torah actually represents. All of life is striking this perfect balance. The Avister Rav Nosson tells the following mashal. Mashal la'aristatia, which means there's a royal path. There's an avenue that people travel on. Shehi overes ben shnei drachim. There are two sides of the highway. And you can fall off on either direction. And you're walking the tightrope in the middle. On the one side, if you fall off, it says, there's achas shel or v'shel eish v'achas shel shelek. On the one side, there's snow. It's freezing. It's icy. I'm going to slip. On the other side, there's fire. And I can get scorched, I can get burnt if I fall off on that direction. And the Mishnah and Avister Rav Nosson tells us that this is the way we need to view our Avodas Hashem. That we are always walking on that path. And Avodas Hashem has to be very calculated, very deliberate. One has to be extremely prudent. So you say to yourself, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu really care if I say Kriya Shema before 9:36 and 16 Chalakim? Is that really so important to Him? What does He care if I say Kriya Shema at 9:18? All of Avodas Hashem is precision. You know, we emphasize the importance of Shemiras HaLashon. We have to be so careful, it can be so destructive. HaChayim V'HaMaves B'Yad HaLashon. You never know where your words can take and what they can do and the effect they can have. You have to be so careful. Go to the extreme. What happens when you have a friend who's in Shidduchim? Somebody calls you about this friend and you know that this is a disaster in the making. Not because you have any ulterior motive. Not because you don't want this person to get married, but rather because you know information that needs to be shared. If you don't share that, it's lo samad al dam reyecha. You're violating an issur d'oraisa in the other direction. This is all of life. It's always a balance. On the one hand, if we fall off the road this way, it's a disaster. Fall off the road the other way, it's a disaster in the opposite direction. And all of life, in being someone who's serious about Avodas Hashem, is striking that balance, is knowing how to find the medium which is appropriate for every situation that we face. So much of the reason why we're here is because we need to do our hishtablus to be able to make a parnasa, to be able to be successful in life. We get carried away. We think, kochi v'otzem yadi. I'm the top of the class, I'm the valedictorian, I graduated with honors, I have an internship, I have whatever I have. We get carried away and we forget about bitachon. You're too focused on bitachon, and you say, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make sure that I graduate with whatever I'm supposed to get. I don't need to study. The Ribbono Shel Olam will make sure I'll get a shidduch. I don't need to go to a singles event. I don't even need a shadchan. I don't need to do anything. It's not my problem. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to get married, I'll be married. That's also inappropriate. So much of life as an Eved Hashem is finding the appropriate balance in everything we do. So the Rambam writes, with that in mind, the Rambam tells us, Deos harbi yesh l'chalecha ve'echa mibnei adam. Each person has a distinct way of thinking. And he said there are some people who have different temperaments. Some people are balchema, kois tamid. Some people are very impatient. And they have outbursts all the time at people who say something that's not appropriate for them. There are some people who are extremely composed and very moderate. Don't get carried away about anything. Yeah, your kid runs into the street, okay, you know, yes, it's okay. Next time we'll make sure not to do it. Other people are explosive. Kid runs into the street, you know, it's like World War III is about to break out. The Rambam says we have different kinds of personalities. There are some people, he says, who are extremely cavalier, very egotistical, very arrogant. And on the other hand, he says there are some people who have really such a humility that they don't even have any self-respect. They're so gentle, they're so modest, that they can't accomplish anything because they don't believe in themselves. And the Rambam goes through all of these different kinds of midos, and he compares and contrasts people who are in different directions. The Rambam then writes the following. Shnei kitzavos harachoku zumizu. Both of these extremes, says the Rambam. If you're the kind of person that has an explosive personality and you just are very temperamental. Or on the other hand, says the Rambam, if you are the kind of person who's too soft. Einan derech tova. Both of those are inappropriate. Of course, the person who has a problem managing their anger and managing their outbursts has a problem. Of course that's not good, but the Rambam says equally is not good is the person in the opposite direction who doesn't know how to get angry when they're supposed to. Both of those are inappropriate. Both of those are an inappropriate way to live life. Says the Rambam, Haderach HaYishara, the right way to live life is Mida Beinonis Shebechol Deya V'Deya. To live a life that is tempered. To live a life of moderation. To live a life where I'm deliberate, where I'm careful, where I measure everything that I do, not to be too extreme in either direction. The Rambam gives a great example. We all love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We love Yerushalayim, we love the Beis HaMikdash. We love being charitable people, Baalei Tzedaka, it's great. Says the Rambam, Le'olam lo yakdish adam ve'lo yachrim kama chasav. The Rambam says, I love God so much, you know what? I'm going to tell him, every penny that I have is for you. Yakdish adam kama chasav. Everything in my house belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. I don't want a chair, I don't want a table, I don't want a house. Everything belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. They can sell it, they can do whatever they want with it. I'll sleep on the streets. I'll be fine. Says the Rambam, in his words, Ein ze chassidus ela shtus. Rambam says, you're not a charitable person. You're insane. It's absurdity, says the Rambam. It doesn't mean you're so wonderful. It means actually, you're acting inappropriately. It means you have no das. You have no way to discern what's right and what's wrong, what's appropriate, where do we draw the line, where do we balance? And this is something that the Rambam describes as being too much in favor of one direction over the other, and we need to always strike that balance and be careful that we do it properly. The Gemara gives examples of people who exaggerate, who overemphasize one aspect of Avodas Hashem over another. So the Gemara says, we have a concept called a Chassid Shotem. Sounds like a contradiction in terms. But the Gemara says, we have a concept of somebody who is a chassid, who is a righteous person, but yet so much of a shota, such a fool. For example, says the Gemara, you have a woman who's swimming, and she starts crying for help. She can't swim in the deep water. And you have a lifeguard who's walking by, and he sees that there's a woman drowning in the water, and he says, oh, I don't know what to do. Look, you know, there's a problem. Gili Arayas, I'm not allowed to look. I don't know what to do. She's drowning. Stop worrying. Take your glasses off and jump in the water, or keep your glasses. Do whatever you need to do. Get there and save her. Says the Gemara, you have another example. You have a tinok mevaveh benahar. You have somebody, a kid who's drowning, a kid is choking, and there's somebody in the middle of davening, and he says, oh, I'll come out with you in a second. Let me just take my tefillin off. You know, it's not appropriate to run around the neighborhood with my tefillin on. The Gemara says by the time you get your tefillin off, the kid is going to die. You have to do immediately CPR. You have to get involved right away to save the child's life. That's a chassid shota, says the Gemara. That's a person who doesn't have the right balance. A person who goes to the extreme inappropriately and doesn't understand. There's a time and a place for everything in Avodas Hashem. If the Torah is perfect, that we follow what the Torah wants us to do in all situations, in all circumstances. The Gemara Maseches Yuma says a phenomenal story. It's a terrifying story. Is the other speaker here? I'm the filibuster, so I'm just going. So the Gemara in Yuma tells an amazing story. The Gemara says that there was a kevesh going up to the Mizbeach, there was a ramp. And every day the Kohanim were fighting with each other, who was going to have the opportunity to get up quicker, who was going to be able to do the avodah. It was a big competition. So the Gemara says, one fine day, there were two Kohanim who were running up the Kevesh together. One of them keeps looking over his shoulder and he sees that his friend is going to make it up quicker. He decides, you know what? Let me just kill him. All right. So he takes a knife, and instead of taking the knife to go shech the karban on the top of the Mizbeah, he takes a knife and murders his friend, the Kohen, on the Mizbeah. Can you believe it? The Gemara says, one of the Kohanim got up and he starts screaming, we have a dead body here. How can this be a terrible thing? Terrible, horrible. The Gemara says a few minutes later, the father of the dead Kohen walks in and he starts screaming. Not what you thought. What's he screaming about? He doesn't say, oi, my son was just killed on the Mizbeach. How could it be? Beis HaMikdash. No, not what he said. The father comes in, he starts screaming. We have a klisharis. We have a holy consecrated knife here that's supposed to be used to do avodah. And now we were metameh it. It killed my son! What are we going to do about the klisharis? Is the guy insane? You're worrying about a klisharis when your son was just killed? The Gemara says that's how off the priorities were. Instead of being worried about shvichas damim, instead of worrying about the fact that your son just lost his life, that a terrible tragedy just unfolded in the Beis HaMikdash on the Mizbeach, you're worried about a klisharis? That's where your focus is? Sometimes people get carried away and they go to the extreme. Of course we value a klisharis. And of course the property of the Beis HaMikdash has to always remain tohar. But don't get carried away. It's not more important than shvichas damim. Of course we need to keep everything in perspective. And we need to calculate, what does the Torah want from me? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of me at this juncture of my life? Are there ever exceptions to the rule when one is expected to go to the extreme? The Rambam clearly says that the derech hamamutza, that the middle path, that being moderate, being deliberate is always the right way to go. Are there ever exceptions to the rule? So we have a Gemara Maseches Sota. Sukkim described the terrible tragedy of a Sota. You have a woman whose husband assumes that she's doing something wrong. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. She has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. She's humiliated in the Beis HaMikdash. A terrible, terrible story. And the Gemara says, if you look carefully in the Psukim and Chumash, you have right next to the story of the Sota, you have the story of a Nazir. The story of a Nazir is all about somebody who abstains from drinking wine. It says the Gemara, Kala Roa Sota Bilkukula Yazir Atzmo Menayayim. If you were witness to that terrible tragedy, of that humiliation, of that woman who was acting inappropriately, who didn't do the right thing, who was touching Gili Arayas, who was doing things she shouldn't be doing. If you were somebody who was witness to that, you have to go to the extreme. Yazir Atzmo Menayayin, you have to stay away from wine. Why? Because where does the beginnings of Gili Arayas start? Where do the beginnings of this kind of behavior of this woman really come from? When she's lightheaded, when she's drinking a little bit, when she's not really in her full sense of understanding of what's right and wrong, that's when problems begin. You saw that? You need to go to the extreme and never drink wine. That's what the Gemara says. A Nazir has to take upon himself that he's not going to drink wine as a direct result of what it is that he just experienced, that he just saw. Can somebody check, maybe? I don't want to go over time. So what you see from that is that if you live in a particular juncture in history at a time when people are so much to the extreme in the wrong direction, what? when you live at a time when people are so much to the extreme in the wrong direction, there the Torah says you need to go to the extreme in the opposite direction. Just this morning, there was a therapist, a male therapist, who came to talk to me. He's very new on the job. And he said he really doesn't know what to do because he's not sure. Is he allowed to have patients, have clients who are from the opposite gender? It's a very serious question, a very good question. You know, my feeling is, I don't know exactly what to say. I don't want to take parnasa away from anybody. I don't know what the answer is. Is it yichud? Is it not yichud? Could somebody else actually walk in the middle? I don't know. But I told him, when we live in a generation that is so harutz baharayis, when we have on the front page of the newspaper every single day that another major politician, major leader of our community, has no shame in the fact that they were caught doing something so inappropriate. When you live at a time like this, you're going to take chances on a shaila of yichud? Maybe yes, maybe no. Again, I'm not poskening, I'm just saying a certain sensitivity. The Rambam says when you have this kind of circumstance that you're confronted with, you need to make sure that in that situation you go to the opposite extreme. Extremism is never healthy. But when you have to counterbalance something that is unhealthy in the opposite direction, sometimes that's what's needed, sometimes that is what is necessary. Think about a recovering alcoholic. Any of you ever had a recovering alcoholic in your family? I'm sure some of you did, don't shake your heads. But it's a painful experience. It's an experience of bravery, of tremendous courage, of the person taking responsibility for their lives, understanding what needs to be done. But what do? They go to the extreme. Never touch wine. Never touch anything that resembles wine. Don't even go to grape juice. Nothing. Why? Because when you have such a problem to the extreme, sometimes the only way to fix it is to go to the opposite extreme. So that is the exception that we find in the Rambam. But outside of that, outside of a particular societal issue that has gone in the wrong direction, the Rambam advises us that this is never healthy. And it's really in line with what the Rambam says. If you believe that the Torah is Torah's MS, if you believe that the Torah is perfect and that everything that is there is meant for all eternity, then that means you believe there's no reason to add, there's no reason to exaggerate, there's no reason to embellish. What the Torah is, it is. And that's of value in and of itself. Nothing needs to be put on, nothing needs to be taken off. It is what it is, and it's perfect. Torah Hashem Temima. We've all come here this semester and this year to be in a sviva, to be in an environment where we value growth, where we value proper choices, where we value the intellect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to determine how we are going to experience different aspects of our lives. Being here makes it so much easier for us because we're around other people who make the same kinds of positive choices, of growth-oriented choices as we're making. But sometimes we have to be careful when we go to the extreme in either direction. Sometimes we have pockets of students, pockets of friends, pockets of a community who feel this isn't right, that isn't right, and they go to the extreme. And we always have to be careful that all of our service to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is balanced, is measured, is bederech hamamutza, like the Rambam says, the shvil hazav, the golden path, the golden mean of how somebody is supposed to live and experience life, is somebody who understands never to be on the extreme of anything. Always to be a person who judges every situation with moderation, who knows how to be deliberate, who knows how to choose wisely, who knows how to live with the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in a very delicate world. Like the Tana Deve Eliyahu writes, like we said before, you live on a very delicate path. You go too much to the extreme this way, you're in the ice, you're slipping. You go in the other extreme, you're in the fire, you're going to be burnt, you're going to get scorched. And it's our opportunity, it's our ability, it's our privilege to make the proper choices, to make sure that we do whatever we can to show others and to show ourselves, most importantly, that we can live a life which is Torah Hashem Temima, a life which is perfect, a life which is Derecha Darchei Noam, a life which shows others that the Torah is the beautiful way of life. It's not to the extreme because it's something that is always in moderation. It's a balance that we always strike. It's something we always live with. And in every decision that we make, we should have the opportunity. V'sakneinu be'etza tova milfanecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow us to always make the right choices. Sometimes it's hard, but to give us the strength and the stamina and the fortitude to be able to choose properly and to come closer to this understanding of all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from all of us. I hope you'll all